That was the first thing. People lived, had in a very long lifespan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the average lifespan of my ummah will be between 60 and 70. Now compare lifespan of 60 and 70 with Nuh alayhi salam, whom the Quran says lived for 950 years. So the first thing that we learn from this parable, from this example, is that the lifespan of the previous ummah was extremely long compared to our 60 or 70 years. Our lifespan in the broader picture is a time between Asr and Maghrib, 2 hours, compared to the hours from sunrise to midday, 6 hours. That's the first thing that this parable teaches us. The second thing is that those who worked for much longer periods were rewarded with one measure, one qirat. Whilst this ummah, that has a very short lifespan, will be rewarded double the measure of the previous ummahs. So they worked just between Asr and Maghrib and earned 2 qirats compared to those that worked from sunrise to midday and earned 1 qirat. So it shows, and how is this possible? The general law in the Quran is Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. That person who does a single virtuous act, his reward is multiplied by 10. That's for this ummah. So what took those people 10 times, what they earned by doing actions that was as numerous or as much as 10, this ummah gets it in doing one action. Therefore, in Mi'raj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, your one salah is equal to 50 salahs. And to compensate for this short lifespan, Allah has given us various occasions. He has given us the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan, where a nafil act is equal to a fard act, where a fard act is equal to a multiplied number of fara'id. Where one night, that is Laylatul Qadr, is equal to 1,000 months of worship. So despite the short lifespan, we can achieve what the previous nations achieved over a period of hundreds of years. That's the second thing we learn from this parable. And the third thing, so one is the time that people had to labor, 2 was the reward, and 3 was the nature of the work. People who worked from sunrise to midday had to brave the sweltering heat. People who work from Asr till Maghrib work under very placid, very conducive conditions. In other words, the Sharia that we have compared to the Sharia of the previous prophets is very, very mild. When Allah was addressing Nabi Musa regarding the advent of the final Nabi, He said, وَيَدَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ. He will send a messenger who is going to remove the burdens and the shackles that were placed on the Banu Israel. In other words, the Sharia that the Banu Israel had to subscribe to was a punitive Sharia. It was meant to discipline a rebellious people. It was meant to punish a rebellious people. For example, there were certain forgiveness among the Banu Israel For some crimes was only possible if you killed yourself. In other words, Tawbah for the Banu Israel meant giving up their lives. Faqtulu anfusakum. Kill yourselves. Give up your lives. For some crimes, the only way they could make Tawbah was to cut off the limb that was involved in the act of vice. Their charity was 25%. Ours is 2.5%. If an impurity fell on a garment for the Banu Israel, they had to cut off that piece. That was the only way you could purify the garment. So their Sharia, the laws of Sabbath, you know, were very difficult. But for this Ummah, Allah has changed the Sharia and made it absolutely consistent with human nature. Now that sets the context for the month of Ramadan. That the month of Ramadan is meant to compensate for our short lifespan. We can achieve in this month what other nations took hundreds of years to achieve, and we can do so with relative ease. When Allah introduces the month of Ramadan, the beauty of the Quran is that the entire month of Ramadan is introduced in one chapter of the entire Quran. When Allah talks about the month of Ramadan, and specifically of fasting, He introduces it in a very unique manner. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. That we have prescribed, or you believe we have prescribed fasting, as we have prescribed fasting for those before you. And then Allah gives us the objective and says, لَعَلَّكُمْ. And this word, لَعَلَّكُمْ, is very significant. لَعَلَّكُمْ means so that you may possibly achieve taqwa. The easiest meaning of taqwa is to guard yourself, to protect yourself. In other words, not everyone that fasts will achieve the objective of protecting himself. There is a great chance that if you do, you will achieve the objective of protecting yourself. At the end of this verse, Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ. Allah is talking about fasting. And He says, Allah wants ease for you. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah does not want difficulty for you. In other words, this entire month of Ramadan, this exercise of fasting, is not a punishment. It is not meant to deprive you of the pleasures of life. It is not an unfair imposition and burden on you. Allah asks a question, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. What can Allah possibly achieve by punishing you? Allah's authority is not enhanced because of your fasting. Neither would it be diminished if you refuse to fast. Allah says it is for your good. It is for you. It is meant to develop you. And then Allah says, وَلِتُكْمِنُ الْعِدَّةَ. That you will achieve the objective of self-development. You will achieve the objective of protecting yourself, of reform, self-reform, provided لِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ. Allah did not say that so provided you spend this prescribed 30 days in His obedience. You don't just go through the motions. You don't, your acts of ibadah are not empty shells of uninspired and grudging obedience to Allah. Allah says, لِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ. You will achieve the intended objective of Ramadan if you perfect, you strive to perfect your ibadah. تَكْمِيلُ الْعِبَادَةِ. Perfecting your ibadah is very different from performing your ibadah. So Allah is saying, you have to embrace the month of Ramadan with passion. You have to embrace the month of Ramadan striving for perfection in the ibadah that you do. If you do so, you will then achieve the objective of self-reformation, of Allah consciousness, of protecting yourself. And therefore, our challenge as the month of Ramadan approaches is to set targets. You cannot enter the month of Ramadan without having targets in terms of your ibadah. And to achieve those targets, you need a disciplined timetable. What are you going to do in this month? Is it just an imposition on you, and grudgingly you're going to fast, and equally uninspired, you know, standing in Taraweeh, waiting for the Imam to finish? Is that what Ramadan is about? Is that what Allah wants? Allah says, وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah doesn't intend to impose and make life difficult for you. So what is it that we, if we spend Ramadan with that passion, with that spirit, if we set targets in terms of our ibadah, what is it that we hope to achieve? The first act of disobedience known to mankind is when Adam and Hawa, alayhimu salatu wassalam, ate of the forbidden fruit in Jannah. It wasn't a sin, because we do not believe that the Anbiya committed sin. But this is the very first act of disobedience, where they were told, don't eat from that tree, and they consumed from that tree. They ate from that tree. What was the consequences of the first act of disobedience? Allah says, the clothes of Jannah fell off them, their nudity became apparent, and they almost naturally, instinctively covered their nudity with the leaves of Jannah. So what disobedience does, it lowers our self sense of modesty, haya, nudity, etc. The fast and Ramadan is meant to lift the bar of your self-esteem. Do you respect yourself as an individual? Do you forgive yourself? How harsh are you on yourself? The first lesson, one of the first benefits of obedience to Allah is that our levels of modesty, our levels of haya, our levels of shame increase. We become better human beings. We become more dignified human beings. We learn to respect ourselves. Secondly, Allah talks in the refers to disobedience in the Quran and says, "La takunu kalladhina nasullaha fa ansahum anfusahum." Do not be like those who forgot Allah, and Allah made them forget themselves. How do you forget yourself? How is it possible for you to forget yourself? That is understood through a dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he said, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna tiba'a. O Allah, show us the truth for what it is and give us, enable us, and empower us to embrace the truth. Wa arina al-batila batilan. And show us falsehood for what it is and enable us to abstain from falsehood. Now, you forget yourself when you know that something is wrong, something is harmful, that it is a vice, but you are unable to abstain from the wrong. You forget yourself when you know that something is beneficial, but you are unable to embrace the good. That is when you have forgotten yourself. So the idea of Ramadan is to create that relationship with yourself so that you are able to see the truth for what it is and embrace the truth. You are able to see falsehood for what it is, and you have the power and the ability and the grit, the willpower to actually stay away from the truth, from the falsehood. That is finding yourself in the month of Ramadan. It is about you. It is about your relationship with yourself. It is about your developing your willpower, your discipline. Allah talks about the sinners and says, "Kalla balrana ala qulubihim." That rust, the net effect of sin is that rust settles on the heart. And how is this rust? How do we know that our hearts have become rusted? We have no appetite to seek the forgiveness of Allah. We have no desire to act virtuously. We have no desire to beg of Allah for His forgiveness. And Ramadan is meant to create an appetite for virtue. Ramadan is meant to create a desire to be upright, to be righteous. So it is, Ramadan is liberating. Ramadan is empowering. Ramadan is meant to help you recognize the power, the latent power that is within you. And therefore Allah says, it is meant for you, not for him. Therefore we should spend time, firstly, making or reading the Quran. It is a month of the Quran. But we should also spend time trying to understand the message of the Quran. How many of us have spent some time trying to understand what is Allah saying? What is the message of Allah to me? You know the famous saying, if you want to speak to Allah, stand in salah. And if you want Allah to speak to you, read the Quran with understanding. So one is tilawat, and the other is to dedicate time trying to understand the message of the Quran. Two, it is a time for istighfar, time to repent, acknowledge your weaknesses. Three, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's generosity in Ramadan has been described as the free blowing wind. In other words, just like wind that covers everything in its wake and it continuously advances, that was the generosity of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Ramadan. Set your targets in terms of your tilawat, in terms of your charity, in terms of your istighfar, in terms of your nafal ibadah, and see how, what a profound change Ramadan will have on our character. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Two important announcements. One is the Operation Winter. You'll see the poster on the masjid board, still open. We request you to contribute towards the purchase of blankets for the poor. And number two is, we had a visit from the provincial traffic department yesterday. They were here to try and resolve the confusion that is created at the school when the school comes out here. But last Friday, they came here to observe how people are parking their cars. And they came to the office yesterday and said, we chose deliberately not to fine and ticket people because we know they're praying. But there's a humble request that do not park, double park. Do not park on the wrong side of the road. You're causing inconvenience for people. So they said they would give us this grace today. They'll be here observing. But from next week, they expect us to obey the laws of the road, park correctly, and do not cause inconvenience to others. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.